You're listening to the Holy Bible One Year Challenge with Master Storyteller Michael Wood, featuring the easy-to-read version and used by permission from Bible Week International. Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Day 33. We're continuing in the Book of Job. And Bildad comes in to say just a few things. And then Job responds. And as we go into Job 27 through 29, we see him using poetic language to describe the power of God. And in Job 29, we go back in time and get a little glimpse of Job's life before all of these disasters came. We're also continuing in the New Testament, and at the end of chapter 21 of Matthew, Jesus gives a parable of a vineyard and a king. Now, this parable is directed towards the leading priests and the Pharisees. But then Jesus gives yet another parable. This one is about a feast, and the king invites all these people to the feast. Now, there's a little interesting point near the end of the story where there's this guy who's not wearing the right clothes for a wedding. The king discovers him. He's later tied up and thrown basically into hell. Now, a lot of people wonder and interpret who this guest is. And the best interpretation I've heard is that he represents those who think they could slide into heaven, but not honor the king. Stay with us to hear more details. If you enjoy the show, visit me at patreon.com/storymaster. You'll find the link in the description box below. By contributing as little as $1 per month, you will enable me to continue this ministry. And you'll get cool rewards too. Together, we're going to get through the Bible in 1 year. Let's get started. Job chapter 25. Then Bildad from Shua answered,
God is the ruler. He makes people fear and respect him. He keeps peace in his kingdom above. No one can count his stars. His sun rises on all people. How can anyone claim to be right before God? No human being can really be pure. In God's eyes, even the moon is not pure and bright. Even the stars are not pure. People are much less pure. They are like maggots, as worthless as worms.
Job 26. Then Job answered,
Bildad, what a great help you are to this tired, weary man. You have really supported me. You have given such wonderful advice to this foolish man. You have provided so much useful information. Who helped you say these things? Whose spirit inspired you to speak? The ghosts and their neighbors in the underworld shake with fear. But God can see clearly into that place of death. Death is not hidden from God. God stretched the northern sky over the empty space. He hung the earth on nothing. He fills the thick clouds with water, but he does not let its heavy weight break the clouds open. He covers the face of the full moon and spreads his clouds over it and hides it. He drew the horizon on the ocean like a circle where light and darkness meet. The foundations that hold up the sky shake with fear when God threatens them. With his own power, God calmed the sea. With his wisdom, he destroyed Rahab. His breath made the skies clear. His hand destroyed the snake that tried to get away. These are only a few of the amazing things God has done. We hear only a small whisper of God's thundering power.
Job 27. Job continued his answer.
God all-powerful has been unfair to me. He has made my life bitter. But as long as I have life in me, as long as breath from God is in my nostrils, I will not be a hypocrite. I will not lie. You will never hear me say, you men are right. To the day I die, I will never be untrue to myself. I will never stop believing that what I have done is right. My conscience will always be clear. May my enemies be punished like those who are evil. May those who stood against me end up like all who have done wrong. What hope do people without God have when it is time to die? When God takes their life away? When they have troubles and cry out for help, God will not listen to them. It will be too late for them to enjoy talking with God all-powerful. They should have prayed to God all the time. I will teach you about God's power. I will not hide anything about God all-powerful. But you have seen it all with your own eyes. So why do you say such useless things? Here is what God has planned for those who are evil. This is what cruel people will get from God all-powerful. They may have many children, but all of them will be killed in war, or their children will not have enough to eat. All those who are left will die, and the widows will not even cry for them. Evil people collect silver as easily as dirt, and have so many clothes that they are piled up like clay. But their piles of clothes will be worn by those who have lived right. All that silver will be given to those who have done no wrong. Evil people might build houses, but they will not last long. Like a spider's web or a guard's tent, they might be rich when they go to bed. But when they open their eyes, all their riches will be gone. Terrible fears will come over them like a flood, like a storm in the night that blows everything away. The east wind will carry them away, and they will be gone. The storm will sweep them out of their homes. They may try to run away from the power of the storm, but it will come down on them without mercy. It will make a sound like clapping hands as they run away. It will mock them as they run from their homes.
Job chapter 28. The value of wisdom. There are mines where people get silver, and places where people melt gold to make it pure. Iron is dug out of the ground, and copper is melted out of the rocks. Miners carry lights deep into caves to search for these rocks in the deepest darkness. Far from where people live, they dig deep into the ground, down where no one else has been before. There they work all alone, hanging from ropes. Fruit grows on the ground above, but underground it is different, as if everything were melted by fire. In the rocks there are blue gems and grains of pure gold. Wild birds know nothing about the way to these places. No falcon has ever seen it. Wild animals have never been there. Lions have not traveled that way. Miners dig the hardest rocks. They dig away at the mountains and make them bare. They cut tunnels through the rocks and see all the treasures they hold. They even find places where rivers begin and bring to light what once was hidden. But where can anyone find wisdom? Where can we get understanding? People don't know where wisdom is. It cannot be found by anyone on earth. The deep ocean says, "It is not here with me." The sea says, "It is not here with me." You cannot buy wisdom with even the purest gold. There is not enough silver in the world to pay for it. You cannot buy it with gold from Ophir, or with precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Wisdom is worth more than gold or crystal. It cannot be bought with expensive jewels set in gold. It is far more valuable than coral and jasper, more precious than rubies. The topaz from Ethiopia cannot match its value, which is greater than the purest gold. So where does wisdom come from? Where can we find understanding? Wisdom is hidden from every living thing on earth. Even birds in the sky cannot see it. Death and destruction say, "We have never seen wisdom. We have only heard rumors about it." Only God knows the way to wisdom. Only he knows where wisdom is. He can see to the very ends of the earth. He sees everything under the sky. God gave the wind its power and decided how big to make the oceans. He decided where to send the rain and where the thunderstorms should go. He looked at wisdom and discussed it. He examined it and saw how much it is worth. Then he said to humans,
"To fear and respect the Lord is wisdom. To turn away from evil is understanding."
Job 29. Job continued to speak.
"I wish my life could be the same as it was a few months ago, when God watched over me and cared for me. God's light shone above me so I could walk through the darkness. I wish for the days when I was successful, when I enjoyed God's friendship and blessing in my home. God all-powerful was still with me then, and my children were all around me. Life was so good that I washed my feet in cream and had plenty of the finest oils. Those were the days when I went to the city gate and sat in the public meeting of the leaders. When the young men saw me coming, they stepped out of my way, and the old men stood up to show they respected me. The leaders of the people stopped talking and put their hands over their mouths. Even the most important leaders were quiet, as if their tongues were stuck to the roof of their mouths. All who heard me said good things about me. Those who saw what I did praised me because I helped the poor when they cried out. I helped the orphans who had no one to care for them. People who were dying asked God to bless me. My help brought joy to widows in need. Right living was my clothing. Fairness was my robe and turban. I was like eyes for the blind, like feet for the lame. I was like a father to the poor. I helped people I didn't even know win their case in court. I stopped evil people from hurting others and saved innocent people from their attacks. I always thought I would live a long life, growing old with my family around me. I was like a healthy plant with roots that have plenty of water and branches that are wet with dew. Each new day brought me more honors and enough strength to shoot my bow. In the past, people listened to me and waited quietly for my advice. When I finished speaking, they had nothing more to say. My words fell gently on their ears. They waited for my words as they would for rain and drank them in, like rain in the springtime. I smiled at them and they could hardly believe it. My smile made them feel better. I was their leader and made decisions about their future. I was like a king among his troops, comforting those who were sad.
Matthew 21, verses 33 to 46. Jesus tells a story about a vineyard. Listen to this story. A landowner decided to plant a vineyard. He prepared an area for pressing the grapes and storing the wine. He put a wall around the vineyard and built a tower to protect it. He made an agreement with some farmers to do the work for a share of the wine. Then he went away. When the time came for making wine, he sent his servants to the farmers to get his share. The farmers grabbed the servants and beat one of them. They killed another one and then stoned to death a third servant. So the man sent some other servants to the farmers. He sent more servants than he sent the first time. But the farmers did the same thing to them that they did the first time. So the man decided to send his son to the farmers. And he thought,
"The farmers will respect my son."
But when the farmers saw the son, they said to each other,
"This is the owner's son. This vineyard will be his. If we kill him, it will be ours."
So the farmers took the son, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. So what will the owner of the vineyard do to these farmers when he comes? The priests and leaders said,
"He will surely kill those evil men. Then he will lease the land to other farmers, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time."
Jesus said to them, "Surely you have read this in the scripture. The stone that the builders refused to accept became the cornerstone. The Lord did this, and it is wonderful to us. So I tell you that God's kingdom will be taken away from you. It will be given to people who do what God wants in his kingdom. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken, and it will crush anyone it falls on." When the leading priests and the Pharisees heard these stories, they knew that Jesus was talking about them. They wanted to find a way to arrest Jesus, but they were afraid to do anything because the people believed that Jesus was a prophet. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Jesus continued to answer them with stories. He said, "God's kingdom is like what happened when a king planned a wedding feast for his son. He invited some people to the feast, and when it was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests to come. But they refused to come. Then the king called some other servants and told them what to say to the people he had invited.
'Come now, the feast is ready. My best bulls and calves have all been prepared, and everything is ready to eat. Come to the wedding feast.'
The people paid no attention to the servants. Some of them went away to do other things. One went to work in his field, and another went to his business. The others grabbed the servants, beat them, and killed them. The king was so angry that he sent his army to kill those who had murdered his servants, and the army burned down their city. The king then said to his servants,
'The wedding feast is ready. I invited those people, but they were not worthy. So go to the street corners and invite everyone you see. Tell them to come to my feast.'
So the servants went into the streets. They gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and brought them to where the wedding feast was ready. And the place was filled with guests. When the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in the right clothes for a wedding. The king said,
'Friend, how were you allowed to come in here? You're not dressed for a wedding.'
But the man had nothing to say. So the king told some of those serving the meal,
'Tie this man's hands and feet. Throw him out into the darkness where people are crying and grinding their teeth in pain.'
'Yes, many people are invited, but only a few are chosen.'" Psalm 18, verses 7 through 15. For the music director, a song of David, the Lord's servant. He sang this song to the Lord when the Lord saved him from Saul and all his other enemies. The earth shook and shivered. The foundations of the mountains trembled. They shook because he was angry. Smoke came from his nose. Scorching flames and red hot coals came from his mouth. He tore open the sky and came down. He stood on a thick, dark cloud. He flew across the sky, riding on a winged creature, racing on the wings of the wind. He wrapped himself in darkness that covered him like a tent. He was hidden by dark clouds, heavy with water. Out of the brightness before him, hail and red hot coals broke through the clouds. The Lord thundered from the sky. God Most High let his voice be heard. He scattered his enemies with his arrows, the lightning bolts that threw them into confusion. Lord, you shouted your command, and a blast of breath came from your nose. And the bottom of the sea could be seen, and the earth's foundations were uncovered. Thank you, everyone. That was day 33. Join us for day 34. Job has more to say And then we hear about how his three friends give up trying to answer him because Job is very sure he's innocent. But then a new character arrives, a young man named Elihu, and he has a different perspective on this whole situation. And in the book of Matthew, the Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to trick Jesus with trick questions. And Jesus' followers ask him, of all the commands out there, which is the most important? We hope you enjoyed today's verses. Be sure to leave us a positive review and to share this podcast with your friends and family. Please join us for the next episode as we experience the Bible in 1 year.
Did you know we offer online courses in creative writing, literature, and web design? Visit us at storymaster.online to learn more.